No one will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year. None of the candidates reached the voting threshold to pass, and the person who came closest, pitcher Curt Schilling, has now requested to be removed from the ballot next year. And for more, let's bring in Mike Pesca. He's Here and Now sports analyst. He also hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
So it is not unheard of for there not to be a Hall of Fame class, but it's extremely rare. What happened this year?
Yeah, it is extremely rare, and it's maybe unheard of when you have players of the quality as players some of the rejected players were. So a second and third on the list, and you mentioned Schilling, a special case, we'll get to him. Second and third getting about 61% of the vote each, and you need 75% of the vote of the sports writers to get into the hall, are Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. Barry Bonds, arguably the greatest offensive player of all time, and that includes Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron, and Roger Clemens, to my mind, the best pitcher of the last 35 years. Wait, why aren't they in the Hall of Fame? The answer is, of course, when you hear their names, I'm sure many of the listeners said, oh, well, PEDs. They both took, admitted to taking, you know, Bond says he didn't know, Clemens is pretty clear that he took performance-enhancing drugs. And this is a disqualifier, although it's not extremely consistent, because there are certainly members of the Hall of Fame who took performance-enhancing drugs. Mm-hmm. And next year, David Ortiz will be on the ballot, and there are very credible reports at some points in his career he took performance-enhancing drugs. So it's a little bit of a morass and a mishmash about who gets in and who doesn't and who gets punished. And it's a confusing, and I think to the world of baseball, dispiriting situation.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about that mishmash. But let's talk a little bit about Curt Schilling. So he was just a few votes shy of making it this year, but there's now this huge backlash. Why is he so controversial?
So his resume would argue for inclusion in the hall. He's one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. You know, not one of the greatest pitchers. He's not maybe in the upper echelon of Hall of Fame members, but he deserves inclusion based on what he did on the field. What he did, as a player, he was always seen as brash and outspoken, and a lot of people didn't like him, but it's what he has done and said afterwards. In 2016, he was fired by ESPN for pretty vicious anti-trans comments. He has since become a QAnon adherent. He is not just a huge Trump supporter, but he's very vocal about it. He perpetuates propaganda. On January 6th, the date of the insurrection, he was cheering on people who were in the crowd and protesting the discredited stolen vote theory. So that's who he is. And Hall of Fame voters, human beings who are baseball writers, have said, I just will not vote for this guy based on who he's become, what he represents, and also the fact that there is a clause in inclusion, the very clause that precludes Bonds and Clemens from getting in, called the character clause, about character and integrity. They don't think Curt Schilling lives up to that clause.
Okay, let's talk more, though, about that clause. I mean, some critics are saying that this whole process just shows how the Hall of Fame's voting system is broken, because not only is it about performance, but it's about their personal lives, too. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, and also I mentioned that baseball writers are the ones who vote, and it's a tough situation for them. In fact, an impossible situation for many, and more prominent baseball writers are saying, I don't want any part of this. You've given me an impossible task. I have to render a judgment on the goodness of people, not just the goodness of players, and take into account that the character clause, character and integrity, was written when the Hall of Fame started in the 30s and written down on paper as the character clause in the 40s, a time when African Americans could not play baseball. So the definition of character was beholden or upholding a system that literally precluded African Americans from participating in it. That's character. That's the morale. It was written, the character clause was written by Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the first commissioner of baseball, who kept Jackie Robinson out of the major leagues. So there is so much, it's such a tough position for the voters to be in, and it's very hard to define what makes a Hall of Famer, given that we have this collision of the morality of 70 to 90 years ago to the morality of today. And this is why a lot of the writers are saying, leave me out of this.
Okay, so Mike, is there an appetite for looking at Hall of Fame rules and reassessing them?
Yeah, one suggestion I've seen from writers is, you guys at the hall, clear the people in terms of character. Take that off the table for me. But of course, the Hall of Fame doesn't want to do that. The Hall of Fame doesn't want to render judgment on character. And another idea is, let us not have this voting. If you are very good, we'll act like a museum. Sometimes you put problematic artists in a museum, but you have a little plaque explaining who they were. Maybe it should just be more about the history of baseball rather than baseball conferring an honor upon you. But there are, you know, hundreds of people who deserve the honor. It would be a shame if when someone of fine character and excellent ability isn't allowed to be in the Hall of Fame or isn't allowed to be in the same way that his forebearers were.
I only have like 15 or 20 seconds with you. I just want to bring up with you NBA reporter Sekou Smith died of COVID-19. Such an influential person in the NBA journalism community. What are you going to miss most about him?
I listen to so many NBA podcasts, and he's still on them. From mid-January, I was going through and listening to Seiko, and then 2 weeks later, 48 years old, he died. Oh, it's so sad.
A major loss. Such a major loss. Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. As always, thank you.
You're welcome.